coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Visualize world peace? No, that's just wishful thinking. Pastor Gregory Seltz tells how God's forgiving love empowers us to be peacemakers for a troubled world.
The world values domination, arrogance, bravado, but God empowers humility, graciousness, kindness, and peace. So if you're wondering if it's truly possible to be a peacemaker, if the troubles of this life seem too strong, know that God's peace is already available and sufficient for those who put their faith in Jesus.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. Later, you'll meet the director of our International Ministry Center in Lebanon. He'll tell us about their ongoing efforts to assist refugees fleeing the war in Syria. Today's sermon is based on a reading from Philippians chapter 4, now with a message titled, God's Peacemakers for a Troubled World. Here's Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we bear His message of peace in this troubled world. Amen. Troublemakers, peacemakers. One of the most famous feuds in history has been between the Hatfields and the McCoys. Just say the name and people understand that you're talking about serious conflict. Do you know how the feud began? It may have started when one of the McCoys accused a member of the Hatfield family of stealing a pig. Of course, in the rural Kentucky and West Virginia area where families lived in the late 1800s, livestock was valuable. It was precious. But it didn't help matters when Hatfield was cleared of the charge because of the dubious testimony from another relative. This began a chain of revenge, fighting, physical harm, political favoritism, and tragedy after tragedy from families that passed troublemaking through generations. It's not so different for us today, is it? It seems like people are anxious, even more angry today than ever. You know, when we moved to Orange County, California, I remember being cut off by one of these crazy drivers. When I sped up to try to voice my disapproval, he tried to cut me off again, and then he shouted profanity my way. Yikes! It scared me to see that kind of rage, because I had a bit of that rage in me too. High anxiety, friends. Anger is simmering at the surface in so many people's lives today. Do you feel it? Do you feel like you're on the edge, ready to snap, fed up with the stress, the noise, the busyness, the worries? Friends, anxiety is oozing all over the place, including in our relationships, in our churches, our workplaces. It seems like it's wherever we go. So do you need help? Well, a stressed out and anxious psalm writer said it this way, "When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." You see, friend, God has a different vision for your life. Real help for the simmering sensation of stress you feel. Instead of veering into life as a troublemaker, Jesus calls you to be a peacemaker. One who receives and shares the gift of His peace with others in the midst of this very broken world. In His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Jesus' brother James, once a man vehemently opposed to Jesus' ministry, said in his biblical letter in James, "Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Becoming a peacemaker isn't something you need to stress then or be anxious about either. In fact, being a person of peace is a gift that comes from knowing God by faith in Jesus Christ. It's part of the new life Jesus bought with his blood shed on the cross and opened up to you with his resurrection from the grave. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." You see, Jesus was equipped as God in the flesh to do as he said, as the Bible clearly teaches in Colossians 1, that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You see, for the last several weeks, we've been speaking about the power of God to redeem and restore all different kinds of people. We saw how Paul shared the good news of Jesus to law and order Romans, to wisdom-seeking Athenians, to business-focused Ephesians, to all who would listen and believe. Well, as peacemakers of the peace giver, we're to bring the good news of Jesus into this chaotic, sin-stricken world too. So do you want to engage the turbulence of this life with more than your best efforts? Do you want to live the new life of having peace and being a peacemaker? Well, that's God's gift to you today, dear listener, right in the midst of all the trouble. You see, God's eternal good news is good news that matters each and every day. Look again with me in the Bible. You see, God literally shows you and me the way of peace by dealing with a very real world feud. That's right, a feud. This feud that Paul's dealing with wasn't the Hatfields and the McCoys, but it was serious enough for him to mention this in the letter to the Christians in the city of Philippi. Two women, Euodia and Syntyche, were having a disagreement in the church there. Paul said about this struggle, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord." Paul also asked the people in the local church to assist these ladies in resolving their differences. The apostle knew that the disagreement could very well lead to other destructive practices in their lives and in the life of the church. It even destroys the witness of the followers of Jesus to others. This Philippian feud could become toxic. You know how it goes. It may start with something very small or something terribly painful, but once the pain gets worked into your system, once you start mulling over the wrongful action and imagining what you would do about it, once you start brooding over your rights and your pride and the way you've been treated unfairly, a troublemaking feud can break out. Revenge and anger can start to dominate. Misery and division could easily begin to take hold. A negative and painful explosion could be the result. So Paul sought to preempt this potentially painful escalation of trouble with the reconciling power of the repentance and grace of Jesus Christ. You see, when that reality of faith is first and foremost in your life, your attitude towards everything else changes. Paul tells it like it is for all of us when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand." The Apostle Paul steered these dear people away from toxic troublemaking and began to unfold a different pattern of life, one that paved the way for peace. Instead of dwelling on misery and revenge, instead of worrying about always getting what you think is fair, Paul reminded them that repentant faith rejoices, knowing that the God who saved you in spite of your sinfulness toward him is close at hand when you're hurting and upset. And by faith, God's people can put his peace-giving presence and his peace-empowering word to work in life. Specifically, Paul says in verses 6 and 7, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul says that in spite of trouble, anxiety, stress, and disappointment, put the power of prayer to work with God as the source and the giver of real, lasting peace. Let your first conversation be to him, no matter what the circumstances in your life. Confident prayer to him releases you from the grip of anxiety. Instead of letting fear and pain and anger swirl around in your soul, poisoning it and pushing you toward trouble, in faith, Prayer puts your life in God's gracious hands. Prayer lets you remember your blessings. Prayer replaces toxic thoughts with requests for help and petitions for life change from God who makes all things possible for you. Instead of imagining what you might do to so-and-so to get justice, you can pray to the Savior who holds all things accountable to himself and who also makes real grace and forgiveness possible for all who repent too. When you let go of trouble and give it to God, resentment and revenge are released to the one who can handle much more than you can. You become a peace receiver and a peacemaker in Him. Boy, we sure need more people like that today, don't we? We need fathers and mothers, friends, neighbors, family, community leaders who strive to share the peace of God that passes all human understanding, the peace that comes from trusting and believing in Jesus. That peace was meant to be shared. Or as Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, those are powerful words. Paul lets all of us know that a peacemaker practices all that is good and godly. If it is pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise, it's worth practicing. And you know that whatever you practice, you get good at. If you practice playing the piano or speaking a new language, you get good at it. If you practice resentment, revenge, and stirring up trouble, you get very skilled at those things too. But that's not what God wants for your life. That's why God's Word emphasizes peacemaking practices over and over and over again. The Apostle Paul talked about not letting anger control your life. He said, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Later in that same chapter of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul outlines the importance of practicing forgiveness instead of retaliation. Listen to the way that he steers us away from troublemaking into peacemaking. He says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." A peacemaker practices humility, self-control, compassion, kindness, forgiveness, because a peacemaker has received all these things from the God of peace, Jesus Christ. Practice these things, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. We could also say practice these things because the God of peace is already with you, and that's important. You and I both need God's peace and power to be His people in this world. The world values domination, arrogance, bravado, but God empowers humility, graciousness, kindness, and peace. So if you're wondering if it's truly possible to be a peacemaker, if the troubles of this life seem too strong, know that God's peace is already available and sufficient for those who put their faith in Jesus. In 2003, Robert Rule stood at the sentencing trial of the man who killed his teenage daughter, Linda. This man had murdered several other victims. Family members had an opportunity to make statements to the murderer at the hearing. One after another, relatives lashed out in their anger and very real pain. The murderer hardened himself against the words filled with hurt and hatred. Then it was Robert's turn. The grieving man stood up and said to the murderer, "There are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is to do what God says to do, to forgive. You are forgiven, sir." And so then, in the midst of this man's just punishment, the words of Robert Rule brought this murderer to repentant tears. A peacemaker still broke through this hardened soul. In the fall of 2006, a man walked into an Amish schoolhouse and he killed 5 young children. The murderer also died in this horrible and cowardly attack. In a remarkable display of forgiveness, the people of that Amish community, including family members of the children who were lost, attended the murderer's funeral, gave comfort to his widow, and even offered financial support to help her. These wounded families overcame incredible trouble and heartbreak by tenaciously pursuing God's peace. How did these people become peacemakers in such adverse circumstances? Well, the way God's people have always done it. They did let justice take its proper place, but then personally receiving God's peace in the midst of their real heartbreak, it empowered them to share what they indeed had received by grace. Or as Paul says of the peacemaker's power, I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, the Greek word for being in need is hystereos. Do you hear our English word for hysteria in that? See, Paul was saying either you can operate in hysteria, your own out-of-control helplessness and frantic striving that leads to trouble, or you can live in God's peace. That's what Paul learned. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. A troublemaker lives in hysteria. A peacemaker lives in the power and presence of God's grace. That's how Robert Rule and the Amish family members could pursue peace through Christ who gave them strength. The fact is, the Savior Jesus, who has risen from the dead, has overcome all evil and pain. He paid the price for all trouble of our sin when he gave his life for us on the cross. Instead of lashing out at us in revenge, instead of paying us back for what our sins deserved, God forgave us and called us his own through the sacrifice of his only Son. Our gracious and compassionate God is the ultimate peacemaker. And although we didn't deserve it, he gave that remarkable love to you and me. And that's the power promise for you and me today, my friend. Will you know it? Will you believe it with me? Your sins are forgiven. The price is paid in full. Jesus gave his life for you. And now in all of the things you face and all the trouble and pain that come your way in weakness and in hurt and in anger, in all of those things, you can forgive as you have been forgiven and show love as you have been loved through Christ, the one to whom all things are accountable, the one who alone gives you real strength. The God of peace prevails by first making peace with you. The Savior can even end the feuds that sometimes come our way. Remember the Hatfields and the McCoys? Well, William Anderson Hatfield was the patriarch of the violent and troublemaking Hatfield family. He was so filled with trouble and hatred that he was called Devil Ons Hatfield. But this troublemaker was changed by a power greater than himself. On September 23, 1911, William Anderson Hatfield was baptized into the Christian faith. He was 73 years old. This former troublemaker became a peacemaker. He even helped plant a new church in his community. Wow! Look what God can do. It's never too late. So what about your life, dear listener? Do you have hope today? Can you be free from the turmoil of real resentment and pain? Can the powerful grace and forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ transform you from a troublemaker into a peacemaker today? Well, rejoice in the Lord always, says Paul. The Lord is near. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In Christ, then, the answer is yes. May that answer be yours, now and forever. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. Now with a report on ministry opportunities and efforts in the Middle East, here's our colleague, Eric Gates.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's great to be here today, and welcome our guest, Mr. Fadi Kerala. Fadi is our director of Lutheran Hour Ministries Lebanon. We've learned about this brutal regime, ISIS. Can you tell us, how has this affected people in the region and affected your ministry?
Yeah, as you know, Eric, ISIS is currently in the news a lot. The Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, they have a vision that Islam should dominate the world now and by the sword. 2 months ago, they gave an ultimatum of 48 hours for Christians. Either they convert to Islam or they pay a very high tax or they will be killed. And they stamped each Christian house with the letter, Arabic letter Noon, which refers to Nazarene in English. And giving them 48 hours, either they convert or they flee.
How has that affected the ministry in Lebanon? You have a large population now of refugees within your country, right?
And these people are located in several camps across the country. the government of Lebanon is not taking care of them. They are left to wander in the valleys and hills of Lebanon. They live in places where there is no infrastructure, no sewage, no running water. And as such, they live in a place, in an area filled with diseases. The most devastating thing is to see that these camps are filled with more than 50% children.
We'll talk a little bit about the new humanitarian project that we've launched this spring. Every month, our ministry center staff travels to these camps, and they share some humanitarian supplies and as well as share the gospel with the Muslims in those camps. And we're grateful that LCMS has recently joined us to help expand that ministry.
We found a great need for hygiene materials for infants, babies. So we bought milk and diapers and cereals, especially that many of the kids were malnourished and it was shown on their faces. We don't treat them as numbers. What we do is that we build a relationship with them and we visit them another time and the third time in order to build this relationship with the family, as a unit. And, you know, when we have good relations with one member of the family, I found that we can have access to all his brothers and sisters and their families. So because of the close extended family, that system that we have, we are able to reach all of these people together.
Can you tell us a little bit, have there been families whose lives have been touched by the gospel or who have been open to hearing the gospel through your ministry?
I will tell you about the story of this family. The father of the house came to me and told me, I want to ask you, why are you doing this as an organization? What's your goal? I said, we are doing this for the sake of God. And we are doing this because Christ told us to do so. He said, how did Christ tell you to do so? And I told him, Christ have gave us this commandment to love each other, and that he's present in every hungry person, in every thirsty person, in every person who is in need in clothes. And whenever we help this guy, we help him personally. He said, but I never learned about this before. This is not the Christ I know. So this opened the door for us to speak to him more. And now he and his family want to know more about Christ, the real Christ that changed lives.
We want to also encourage our listeners to visit Lutheran Hour Ministries Lebanon's blog. You can visit us at lhm.org/international and just click on the Lebanon blog link. Thanks again, Fadi, for coming with us today and sharing your stories.
Thanks, Eric.
Next week, our speaker emeritus, Pastor Ken Klaus, will be here with a message titled, Keep It Simple and Straightforward. Uncontrolled anger affects people in lots of ways. Poorly managed anger can threaten one's health and relationships. Our free booklet helps you learn productive ways to deal with these issues. Read, There's More to Anger Than Getting Mad. For your free copy, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free, 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your prayers and gifts help us share that message directly through education and media and indirectly by supporting congregations and church bodies in their outreach efforts. Consider becoming a monthly supporter to partner with us. To learn more, go to LutheranHour.org and click on Automatic Giving. Together, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Will you pray with me? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Why doesn't God put an end to the world's problems? That's our question today for Pastor Gregory Seltz. I'm Mark Eisher. Pastor, everywhere we look, we see war, disease, disaster, cruelty, corruption. Why doesn't God just put an end to all the problems in the world?
Well, what a great question. You know, we do have so many problems, Mark. Every time I hear or read the news, I'm disturbed by the terrible things that are happening in our world.
And it's not just around the world. People are struggling even in our own families, our own communities.
You're right. And I recall Jesus' words in John chapter 16, "In this world you will have trouble." So it was no surprise to Jesus, and it shouldn't surprise us either.
But Jesus also said, "Take heart, he has overcome the world."
Yeah, what a powerful statement. But that's the tension we live in as followers of Jesus. On the one hand, we have eternal hope and certainty. Jesus won the victory over sin and death through his death and resurrection. So we don't have to worry or fear. But on the other hand, we live in this veil of tears and we wait for the restoration when Jesus will come again.
But if Jesus has already overcome the world, why doesn't he use his power to make things different?
Well, he will, Mark. But for now, he is waiting. He has a plan. So I think of the Apostle Peter who spoke to Christians who were getting disheartened by all the trouble they were experiencing, and there was plenty of it in the first century. Think about it. They were living under Roman rule, being persecuted and shunned by people who rejected Christ. It was no picnic. But Peter said to these Christians, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll even say, 'Where is this coming he promised?'" But then he added this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. He's patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance."
So what that tells me is that God isn't slow or running behind schedule when it comes to fixing the world's problems. He's waiting so that many more can hear the good news and be saved. But it's not easy for us to be patient like that.
Right.
Trouble's hard to take.
Yeah, and that's why God's word always encourages us not to lose heart, but to persevere with his grace and power, the power he gives. You know, I think of God's word to Joshua as he faced frightening new challenges. God said, "Be strong, be courageous, don't be frightened, and don't be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." So I also think about Paul's moving and encouraging words in Romans chapter 5, and these are some of my favorites. It says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we've got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him we've also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand in, and we rejoice in the hope of glory of God." Now here it comes. He says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character," and think about this, "character," he says, "produces hope."
And we need that endurance to live day by day.
Yeah, it's a broken place, broken by sin. And sin isn't just a lighthearted misdeed here and there. Our sin is what causes chaos, injustice, terrible pain, and tragic death in our world.
And God's honest about the grave situation in which we find ourselves.
Yeah, he is. And as we travel through this world, though, waiting upon God, he sustains us. He encourages us. And he also uses us to make his difference, you know, bring his love and grace to the serious problems we face.
And in that sense, we can be part of God's answer to the problems.
Yeah, we're here on this earth to show the love of God. We're here to reach people with the message of repentance and forgiveness in Christ.
We are sent by the Savior to help prepare people for that great day of restoration, that day that will come upon us like a thief in the night, suddenly without expectation.
Yeah, and as we wait, God does two things for us. He cares for us, all of us. You know, Jesus said about his Father in heaven, "For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust." So God shows his love to all people. And secondly, he constantly calls us, all of us, to himself by faith. Remember how Paul said that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
And so we also wait, but we wait with great hope.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.